connecting to the internet.
Internet.
Networking software.
World Wide Web for the web. Computer today.
Computer.
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 NetSurfer Pro.
It's a comedy rap. It's the funny hip hop. We've come off the tails of the comedy pop.
Call me a bear, cause I eat libertarians. Hey, are you intimidated by my starion?
Nothing rhymes with libertarian, as we've found. So let's get this podcast a little unwound.
I like Shadow the Hedgehog, cause sometimes I say damn. But it's okay if you don't like that, man. Swearing isn't always the cool thing to do. But sometimes swearing doesn't make you feel like poo.
We're both white, so we cannot rap. Eminem's an exception, so is Token.
So is Post Malone, but is he though?
Is he a rapper? What's the definition of rapper here?
Somebody who takes paper and puts it over an object.
Ah, yes, they have those at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah. My favorite Eminem song is 3 minutes straight of just crinkling wrapping paper.
Ah, yes, the protege of John Cage. So, welcome to NetSurfer Pro, whirlwind ride through the World Wide Web. I am your host, Matt, and with me is, as always,
Galen, the man, the myth, the legend. You may know me by my my rap name, Shaggy2Dope. Shaggy2Dope. Shaggy2Dope is already taken.
I was gonna say, you can't be Shaggy2Dope. That would be a huge bomb to drop on the listeners. Huge lore bomb.
Shaggy1.5Dope.
Yes. Not quite there yet. Has to level up a few times.
gotta get some more crushbone belts.
Yes.
So I just wanna check my alarm real quick. Yep, it's the state of the meme. Seems about right. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Since the alarm last sounded.
Yeah, so what are we talking about this time?
Yes, this is a surprise to Matt as well. So, as I assume any listeners here can tell, we are deeply embroiled in male archetype culture. The last 17 episodes have been primarily about how to be an alpha male and how to not be a delta male and how to be an omega male.
I'm an upsilon
to avoid
male.
It. Yeah, you know, all that kind of stuff. And a new archetype did just drop, the Shrigma male.
Yes.
So somebody made a new Wojak because they basically just decided, you know what, you could just make a new Wojak if you want. So they made, like, a mushroom-looking male, like, Wojak. It's like a mushroom with a face, and he has, like, a mushroom head. And,
okay,
well,
so, hold on. Sorry, backing up a bit, just to explain what a Wojak is. It's a white guy? You might have seen images of him.
God.
Yeah. actually white.
This traces back to the extinction event of Rage Comics, whereby really the only ones that survived were like the troll face and the Feels Bad Man face. The Feels Bad Man face then becoming known as the Wojak, which then, you know, spawned its own sort of everything. It spawned the, you know, the, like, the man with the face that's, like, got a craggly beard, and he's like, oh!
The Soyjack, as they call it.
Yeah, it spawned the NPC, it spawned, like, the crying Wojak.
The Brainjack.
Yeah,
the
Brainjack. The
variations of the Brainjack, which are honestly kind of funny.
Yes. My favorite one of those being when he's, like, playing a chess.
Yes, with himself.
Against himself.
And everything's made out of brain. Yes.
So that's the like Wojak side. And at the exact moment that the immovable object of the unstoppable force of Wojak culture was coming down the path, it managed to hit into the immovable object that is dumb male archetypes. Now, if you probably know this as, like, alpha and beta males, Now, if you're thinking, oh, and also Omega males, that's a different thing. We're not talking about that.
Oh, we'll get sued.
We'll get sued if we talk about ABO culture. No, we're talking about the, like, alpha versus beta, like, bodybuilder culture, like, 4chan, I'm an alpha male, and these are all these beta males. And sigma male was a term that sort of, like, popped into fucking existence.
It's sort of like... if you're playing on the playground and you're like, I have a shield that blocks everything, and then somebody says, I have a shield that destroys shields that block everything. It's like that.
Yeah, it
the
literally
whole point
is.
Of sigma male is that it's better than alpha male.
Yeah, it's even rarer than alpha male. So like, sigma male came into being, and I'm going to talk about sigma males, but I like, the memes that sort of came up from this are, like, just making up any kind of male. Scrimblow males, I think, being my favorite. There was a recent video by Pisscord that was like 10 signs you may be a Scrimblow male. And it featured such signs as large piles of grust in your room. You are not at all interested in Cromro Dungleson and his grusted and blumsted Chester machine. And of course, obviously, one of the biggest signs, Chumblerton.
That kind of has to deal with like Plumbus talk, but yes. Also it has to deal with Scrimblow Blimblow, the lovable Scrungo, which was a meme that popped up around E3. To refer to characters that only a few people want in Smash Bros, but they're very vocal about it.
Yeah.
But no, so Shrigma Male.
Yeah, so Shrigma Male then kind of came out as, like, the ultimate male archetype of being that Wojak, the new Wojak with the mushroom head. And, you know, memes abound. And I just sort of want to talk about it because... I think that alpha male culture is funny.
It should be noted that literally this whole thing started because somebody posted on 4chan, I made my own Wojak, what do you think? That was it.
Yeah. I forgot about that, yeah. The initial Shrigma male was just someone saying, yeah, I made a new Wojak.
Which,
here it is.
Do you remember Fizzjall?
Yeah,
it's a lot like that, where somebody just made an image and was like, Trips gets to name who this is, Trips being three letters in a row, or three numbers in a row, in the randomly generated post number, and that was the name. But it was just somebody making an image for no point other than for other people to make versions of it.
Yeah.
It was a ghost meme. Or a homunculus meme. I think Shrigma is both really funny because it doesn't mean anything. Obviously, Shrigma is not an actual Greek letter. I mean, it's like a variant on Sigma with a shroom. But, like, people have just kind of taken it away from the context of, like, the male hierarchy and just turned it into funny mushroom guy. Like, obviously, yeah. I've seen multiple Vine Sauce-related ones. The animator on YouTube, Stagger Knight, has a really good video that just has, like, 50 or so... in the background, 50 different unique Shrigmas. At first, I thought this was a Ligma thing, but hearing it in context with Sigma male makes more sense.
Yeah.
Shrigma shoulders, I guess.
Shrigma nuts. Yeah, so I do want to, before we get on to the main event, read out this list, because... Obviously, hearing that alpha male culture is back in the relevant mindset to be made fun of, thankfully, I had to figure out what makes a Sigma male a Sigma male. And guys, I gotta tell you, I think I might be a Sigma male.
Ooh.
So no one can ever say anything about me bad because I'm a Sigma male. So here's 10 signs that you're a Sigma male, the rarest male type, according to Top Think, which is the only source of information that I have ever in anything. So number one, rejecting expectations. You don't care about social standings or hierarchies. You reject social trends. Yeah, let's see.
Reject social hierarchy by participating in a social hierarchy.
Exactly. You exist outside the hierarchy, but subsequently do exist within the hierarchy. Let's see, I'm wearing sweatpants and no shirt. Yep, I'd say I'd rejected some social trends here. Number two, material insignificance. You're minimalistic. Material goods are no replacement for knowledge, skill, or wisdom. I mean, yeah, like... I mean, I'd really just need, like, my computer and my Nintendo Switch. Yeah, I think that tracks. Number three, self-management.
What was the YouTuber that had books in his garage?
Knowledge. I'm really excited about this Lamborghini, but I'm even more excited about these seven bookshelves.
What's more important? Knowledge. God.
Number three, self-management. Struggle with authority. Feel stuck in the workplace. Work best on their own. Yeah, I have massive problems with authority. I think that we currently live in a very authoritarian government and think that, you know, something with less direct control over our lives, be it control from governments or from corporations, would be better for us. Four, mysterious privacy. Shield their passions and interests. Feel no need to share. I know for a fact no one cares about my interests. Number five, humble leadership. You're a lone wolf, but you can be aspiring leaders. Number six, independent pursuits. You make your own. You make it on your own. You don't find meaning in paycheck titles or authority. Number seven, Sigma lifestyle. That's all that bullet point says. Number eight, confident introversion. You're an introvert, sure, but you have a rich interior world. Number nine, room to breathe. You sometimes just need time off. And number 10, you're an outlier. You don't fit into common groups like Alpha or Beta. You may be Sigma. You know what this is?
Vague pandering to people who are terminally online?
Yes. This is... Alpha and Beta was, like, a constructed thing. It's not a real thing. It's not even a real thing in Wolves, as H-Bomber Guy pointed out, that, you know, the originator of Alpha and Beta literally made a book later that was like, we only studied Wolves in captivity. Turns out this isn't how Wolves work. So, Alpha and Beta doesn't exist. But, like, people on the internet, men on the internet, have convinced themselves that there's alphas who are the leaders and there's betas who are the followers.
But I'd rather be a dick than a swallower. Kanye West.
But the problem with that is that the people who, like, eat this shit up are losers. And I say that as a loser, but, like...
It's not just a loser, it's a scrub.
Yeah, a scrub who's a guy who can't get no love from me. You know, that kind of scrub.
The scrub is somebody who refuses to accept their own faults and improve upon them, instead pushing it to other people, saying that they're not at fault, the other people are at fault for making them bad.
Yeah, and so a Sigma male was basically invented so that they can still, like, people who peddle this bullshit can still be like, oh no, don't worry. Even if you're not, you know, a big dominant alpha, you can still be the top dog. It's just that you're so cool, you don't even feel like you need to fit into this hierarchy. So, you know, if you like playing video games and like making yourself comfortable and like, you know, if you're like an alpha but you're autistic, then you're Sigma. Basically, is what this boils down to.
Yeah, I've heard these called male horoscopes. And yeah. I think that's very apt because this list of traits, a lot of them could apply to almost anybody. Even, like, regardless of gender, like, you know, I know a lot of like, women and non-binary people that need time to themselves anyways. That's not a Sigma male thing. That's an introvert thing. Or just, like, a way that different people experience energy in terms of, like, social ability and whatnot. Or, like... You prefer knowledge over material things? So do a lot of people. Yeah. Is that just saying, like, oh, you're okay without buying that fancy car? And if somebody... And clearly, the reason nobody likes you is because you're not obsessed with materialistic items like them.
Yeah. It's just sort of... It's not like other girls' syndrome, but for exclusively, like... cis men who argue online.
Yes. This is why, like, I'm glad I'm not in the traditional gender binary, because I don't have to worry about this kind of thing.
Turns out you're the Sigma-ist of us all.
Also, can we just note how they picked Sigma as just like a random letter? Like, they skipped over Gamma, Delta, Epsilon, Zeta, Eta, and Theta. They didn't even get to Tau, and the Tau are like my favorite Warhammer troop. And
they didn't get to Omega, which, God, the day that they get to Omega, everything will just collapse.
I'm pretty sure there is an Omega already, and the Omega is the opposite of the Alpha, but it's also not Beta.
Wait, so then what is it?
I don't know.
Is it good to be an Omega or bad to be an Omega?
I think it's only bad to be a Beta. Anything else is up for grabs.
I'm an ampersand male, personally.
Yeah. And Tarobang.
All right. Kanye. So, speaking of...
alpha males?
Speaking of misogyny? No, that doesn't work.
So, today we're talking about The Lonely Island, but also this month we're talking about The Lonely Island. This is Lonely Jalisland. I've heard many people tell me Jalonely Island is better. Not sure how I feel about that.
We'll hashtag both when we set this out.
So we're going to be covering three of their movies that they've released later in the month as the month progresses. But for this episode, we mainly want to focus on sort of their work as a whole, a lot of their like music and videos outside of those movies, maybe get a feel for kind of their MO, their running themes, their style. Before we get into those movies, I have a big fact corner prepared because I did a lot of research for this.
Yes. These are some really storied creators.
Yes.
Like definitely some of the original, like got famous on internet and then went on to be famous outside of internet.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah. So go ahead and put us into the fact corner, if you will.
The Fact Corner.
Okay, so The Lonely Island is a trio of comedians consisting of Andy Samberg, Akiva Schaffer, and Jorma Taccone. They were founded in 2001, but there are three friends that originally met in middle school, with Andy Samberg being a grade below the other two. And they wanted to go into the entertainment industry, but had trouble finding work, and so they began writing sketches and comedy songs on the internet. Specifically, one of their roommates, when they first started off, was a musician, so they had, like, recording equipment and everything already. They began uploading their songs and videos to old websites like iFilm or Heavy.com, kind of pre-YouTube era, which was a thing, in fact.
And YouTube wasn't always the only video website.
Yes, and they released their videos under a Creative Commons license, so anybody could, like, remix them or re-upload them. They also, in 2001, made a pilot for a Lonely Island TV series, but that did not go through. Though, while they were in LA, they started getting involved in the Super Midnight Movie Club, a club hosted by Dan Harmon and Rob Schraub, and that later became Channel 101. Channel 101, with them, they produced a series called Ignition TV Buzz Countdown, which lasted for two episodes, but more importantly, an eight-episode miniseries called The Boo, a parody of The OC in similar sort of teen dramas. The Boo was pretty successful, considering it lasted for eight episodes instead of two, and that led them to an industry agent and some TV writing. They pitched their Lonely Island TV series to some places, like I said before. They've had some unsuccessful pilots for Fox and Comedy Central. They also made a pilot for Awesome Town, a sketch show, kind of Mr. Show-esque blending, pre-recorded sketches and live segments, but that didn't go through either. And while they didn't gain any long-term deals, they did gain notability in the industry, which landed them a writing job in 2005 for the 2005 MTV Music Awards. After that, the host Jimmy Fallon, or the person that hosted, you know, the awards, Jimmy Fallon, recommended the trio to Lorne Michaels, landing them their SNL job. Now, SNL is kind of where they got their first big break. Samberg joined the official cast in 2005, and Akiva and Jorma joined as writers. On SNL, though, Akiva and Jorma didn't get many scenes past the initial pitching phase. Sort of the practice was that the writers pitch scenes to the executives, And then if the pitch goes through, they write that out as a complete scene. Since they were pretty uncertain of their future with the show, since they didn't get many pitches accepted, they decided to just make a video for fun called The Bing Bong Brothers, which is a parody of the Ying Yang Twins, in one specific song that I don't remember the name of, but I forgot to write it down for some reason. The video went viral, and they tried a few times, like, kind of making more videos, but finally they were able to land a hit. In December of that year, they released Lazy Sunday on SNL, which overnight became an internet sensation. It became an early viral YouTube video, it got airtime on SNL, it was one of the first things that NBC really had to release on iTunes. Like, the drive for it to be available as a single on iTunes pushed them sort of further into the mobile age. And so, from that point on, with SNL, they released these SNL digital shorts. The sort of thing was that they would pitch an idea to Lorne Michaels, and Lorne Michaels was so confused by it, but was just kind of, at that point, trusting them to get it done. And that led to them getting a whole bunch of just, like, wacky but well-known scenes and songs and music videos in. They made their first movie, Hot Rod, in 2006, which, fun fact, originally was supposed to be for Will Forte. Later that year, they worked with Justin Timberlake on a song, Dick in a Box, which once again went massively viral. And then in 2009, they released their first studio album, Incredibad, which consisted of new and old music. Their first single off the album was Jizz in My Pants, which went platinum and released as a digital short. Their second single, I'm on a Boat, featured T-Pain, after the trio had met T-Pain on SNL. I'm on a Boat again went viral and went double platinum. And since then, they pretty much followed this pattern of releasing music and videos to internet success, making mildly successful TV shows and cult hit movies. And so today we're going to be talking about some of their digital shorts, as well as, of course, their albums. Their albums are Incredibad, The Whack Album, and Turtleneck and Chain, with the soundtrack for one of their movies also being the most recent of their albums. So,
which we'll get to soon enough.
Yeah,
because that's probably one of my favorite properties of theirs.
Well, I think we're going to cover that as its own episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I meant by soon enough.
Sure. Yeah.
And skip forward a couple weeks in time if you want to listen to that.
Yeah. And also, it should be noted, of course, that other than, you know, the trio working on their own things, obviously Andy Samberg is now a really acclaimed actor, appearing in shows like Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And, you know, he's kind of had the SNL actor career afterwards. So, yeah, let's talk about their style, I guess.
Yeah, well, I guess let's start sort of at the beginning with Lazy Sunday, because I think it sort of, this was one, I think that my generation, at the very least, our generation, would definitely recognize, like, I'm on a Boat and, you know, Dick in a Box, if only through cultural osmosis. But I had never heard of Lazy Sunday before I watched it. And I think it's a very good starting point as, yeah, like, setting up their MO and style.
It was definitely, I mean, it being an early viral video is, like, a complete accurate statement. It was one of those things where it's like, have you seen this? No, let me show it to you. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
I know I had seen it a long time ago. I do. So there's this is a little unrelated. There's this song that has lived rent-free in my head that just listed off a bunch of early viral internet things. And it mentioned two Lonely Island videos, which were Lazy Sunday and Dick in a Box. And I think that's notable that they've had two things so prominent that they were listed alongside things like Homestar Runner or Ask a Ninja.
Oh, God.
Remember Ask a Ninja?
Fucking hell.
So, Lazy Sunday is about Chris Parnell and Andy Samberg going to a movie theater on Sunday to watch Chronicles of Narnia. They also talk about ordering, what, cupcakes? Muffins?
Yeah. Ordering cupcakes, and I think Mimosas was the next, was Lazy Sunday too.
Yeah, they have a very mundane things they do. They argue over which internet mapping service to use.
Yeah.
They say, yeah. I use MapQuest, Yahoo Maps is good too. Something, Google Maps is the best, true that, double true.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the like style of a lot of these bits can sort of be summed up as like giving the like full rap attitude to incredibly like banal things.
Mm-hmm.
Of like the sting is like, it's the Chronic. What calls of Narnia? The Chronic being slang for weed, of course. And yeah. So, yeah. But like, you know, just the fact that they have this like massive energy, you know, when they're getting cupcakes, it's like, you know, I want 4, no 6, no 10, no 12, baker's dozen. And it's like this, you know, it's a crescendo of like attitude over getting cupcakes.
Yeah, they're
getting more.
They're like flow in meter is very much based off the Beastie Boys, with like every syllable being punctuated. There's not a lot of like multi-syllable words where only one syllable is like the main one and then the others kind of go quickly. You think of like a lot of rappers will mix up their rhythm a lot in their flow. They'll kind of switch what their what's it called? When like one syllable is the big one or the main one.
Oh, like you're
stressing or emphasizing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Lonely Island doesn't do that a whole lot. They do also often end with like very punchy last syllables in their lines. Or like they'll have multiple members rapping the last line. Like Baker's Dozen is said by both people, both as a sort of agreement on buying the Baker's Dozen in universe, but also to give it further weight. But they do this so much. I wanted to bring that up because I feel like they almost cross over to bad rapping in the sense that like rapping written by somebody who doesn't rap and is trying to mimic rap, like on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
But I think if you compare it to like the Beastie Boys, you know, you think of like You Gotta Fight for Your Right to Party. It's like, Mom, calm down, it's just the Beastie Boys. Like, every syllable in that is given a punch to it. And yeah. I think that particularly is sort of what they're doing. It also, I don't know, it also feels kind of like they avoided going for, like they tried to go for a, like, white rapper already.
I actually want to highlight earlier songs of theirs that were, I believe, very specifically, like, this was before their career, but they were also somewhat viral, which is Just Two Guys and We Like Sports,
yes,
both with Z's at the end.
The Guy Number Two and Guy Number One trilogy.
Yeah. And, like, these videos are very much, like, they kind of use that exact joke of, like, what, like, you know, someone who doesn't know how to rap but writes lines anyways, and it's delivered very like lame. It's like, the game is started, everyone is here, I got my sports, my friends, and a beer. Like, it's very stiff and awkward intentionally. So
right,
the meter is honestly very similar, but like the delivery, I very much prefer their later delivery where they're, like, extremely confident about the lamest rhymes.
Yes. Yeah, so there's a trilogy. There's Just Two Guys, We Like Sports, and We'll Kill You. These are all very good. It's the same two characters of Guy Number One and Guy Number Two. They keep bringing, like, hey, remember me? It's Guy Number Two. I'm Guy Number One. How about you? Stuff like that. We Like Sports, I think, is my favorite of the three. There's a joke for all of them that they hate this guy named Steve.
Yeah.
That keeps coming back. But yeah, it's definitely like supposed to be like, you think that's bad, wait till you see this song. And that's like their intentionally bad to contrast with their maybe a little unintentionally bad, but mostly competent rapping.
Yeah. competent is a good word for it. Like, I don't think you could listen to We're On, I'm On a Boat and be like, these guys are good rappers. Although, to be fair, they are actually really good. They are pretty good rappers.
They do have good lyricism in a lot of their later stuff, I will say.
But, like, yeah, exactly. The lyricism is very, like, obviously made to be kind of lame.
Yeah.
And so,
when you mentioned I'm On a Boat, I want to mention that sort of a common theme with their rap music is poking at the aesthetics of rap, not so much directed towards specific people, but like I'm On a Boat is a song that is about literally just them on a boat. And like it has references to people who go boating, but that's more of like the upper class, like I own a yacht style person, you know, like the nautical themed Afghan.
Yeah.
But to a greater extent, it's more of a joke about just like the like fame excess, you know, the McBling sort of thing.
Yeah, it's like the nautical themed Pashmina Afghan is you know, sort of like a direct reference to the upper class lifestyle, but when it gets to things like, you know, I fucked a mermaid, or, you know, I'm literally riding on a dolphin, it's more a parody of just the incredible need for constant growth and one-upmanship in, like, rap music.
It reminds me of the music video for Lil Dicky's Save That Money, where his goal was to make it look expensive without spending any money. So he just, like, asked people to borrow their boat for 10 seconds. Lil Dicky, of course, being a later comedy rapper, maybe he got inspiration from this. Also, there's songs like I Just Had Sex, where it's about, like, making fun of songs that brag about fucking a lot. Like, it's a song where the whole premise is that the singer just had sex and they're bragging about it.
Yeah.
But compare that to, like, Kanye saying, like, 300 bitches were the Trojans. Which, by the way, I just want to say this. He says, like, bring it 300 like the Romans. Excuse you, Kanye? Can you go back a few years? Anyways, that's not important. But no, and then there's also Go Kindergarten, which is more of a parody of, like, songs that tell people to do things. You know, like, get down on the floor, wiggle, 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 whatever, you know.
Yeah.
It just takes that to the extreme.
Throw It on the Ground feels more like, it feels like a parody of, you know, I have a disrespect authority songs, basically.
Yeah. Somebody who, like, who wants to disrespect it. It's a Sigma male song.
Yeah. We're tying it together. It's a song about someone who wants to disrespect authority in the lamest possible ways.
I just love, he said, it's your dad. Like,
my dad's not a phone.
Yeah, I want to say that I do actually think a lot of their songs are funny. Oh, there's also Punch You in the Jeans, which is, the premise is it's about, like, you know, songs that are about how you'll go very violent and fight somebody, but it's specifically about damaging the jeans. Every line about, like, how much pain it'll be or what damage he'll cause is only in the context of jeans. Like, your jeans will wish they were shorts. Like, he is clearly putting effort into saying he will not hurt you, just your jeans.
Yeah.
It has the line, roll up to you smoothly and punch you in the jeans, which I quote a lot. So this is sort of a general, like, theme they go for. They also like to make fun of themselves, which I think is very important. They have a good idea at who to punch, other than jeans.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing to drive home, because especially in the, like, mid to late 2000s era and kind of early 2010s era, like, rap music is an easy target. And, like, it is an easy target for, I think, reasons we all kind of know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, it is a lot of, like, oh, exorbitant wealth, oh, treating women like objects. But also, like, it's definitely the safer target because, you know, it's where the black people are. And yeah, they're safe targets.
By that time, it hadn't quite gotten past the point where, like, you know, casually racist people didn't like it.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, but mainly the hardcore racist people don't like it, which is a lot of people, but
But, like, I think that what sort of, not saves Lonely Island, I don't know, what makes Lonely Island feel
acceptable,
a lot better, yeah, a lot more acceptable, even especially today, is that many, like, much of the joke is also directed specifically at them acting it. It gives them sort of a persona of, like, white boys trying to be black, you know?
Yeah.
Which is its own, like, its own sort of commentary.
Yeah. I do want to shout out the YouTube video essayist Toonrific Tarek, who makes videos on cartoons. And he specifically talks about how, like, a common joke in cartoons doing hip-hop is that there's always the white friend who isn't actually good and tries to look like a thug, but just does it because he wants to, like, look like he's one of the good ones or whatever. There's sort of a bit of that in Lonely Island, is a view that they themselves are kind of putting on a front of trying to look tough and, like, rough and, like, street, and they know that that's not true.
Yeah.
I think a really good example is We're Back, where it starts, like, you know, it's kind of like an Eminem, like, Guess Who's Back Again. It has a really good beat, by the way, but then it really quickly shifts to them talking about how small their dicks are and how they don't work. Like, it's one of those things where they immediately go from we're super cool and hype to we can't fuck, which is, you know, sort of a common unlike fragile masculinity in terms of themselves. I think it works because they're not, like, attacking somebody else for their, you know, supposed lack of masculinity. It's like them almost complimenting that, you know? I don't really know what point I'm trying to make. Other than they often do this type of thing of, like, inviting jokes about them.
I do actually want to sort of highlight one thing, which is the Like a Boss video. One of the lines is suck some dude's dick and then later suck my own dick. And, like, it definitely part of the joke is, you know, sudden gayness. But, like, there it is not, like, made fun of that he is gay, or I guess in this context, bi. It is, like, it is more the non sequitur that is the joke, because it also is paired with things like, you know, fucking a fish's brains out.
Yeah.
Shit like that.
Turning into a jet.
Yeah. And so, like, the joke is more in the escalation than in, haha, gay people.
Yeah. It's more in just, like, it would be. It also kind of ties back to the, like, I just had sex type thing.
Yeah.
The sex, drugs, and, I guess, rap in this case. There are also... I want to mention a song that is kind of doesn't fit with these, but sort of does, which is Captain Jack Sparrow, or just Jack Sparrow. So Jack Sparrow is a really good song because it features Michael Bolton, and
That's the reason it's a good song.
The premise is that the trio want to make this, like, regular club, like, you know, everybody getting tipsy sort of thing, and then Michael Bolton interrupts by singing about movies. And it is, again, a kind of joke on the Lonely Island, because the song is only interesting because of Michael Bolton. And even though that's the whole point, is him doing this bit, like, it kind of overshadows the, like, I'm sure it's intentional that it overshadows the club bits, and that's the joke. But at the same time, we only know the song because it's about Michael Bolton singing about Jack Sparrow. Like, it's intentional that everything that the trio does doesn't matter, but also it is an interesting point to make that this, like, straightforward song with them just talking about going into the club and, you know, getting girls or whatever isn't interesting. I mean, I don't really have any other kind of comparisons to make in that regard. I think there are a lot of similar songs where they just do really silly things that kind of, I don't want to say it necessarily brings jokes about them, but it, like, kind of, so, like, there's two songs in particular that I want to mention. One of them is Who Said We're Whack, which is another one that's sort of about them being very fragile, where it's like somebody said we're whack, who said we're whack, and then they go through this entire song just asking who said they're whack, eventually formulating a plan to point out the person who did say they're whack. it's very dramatic for, you know, kind of a, just a, not even a curse word, just a dumb insult saying somebody's whack. And the other song I want to bring up is We Don't Give a Honk, which is them trying to say a song without curse words, using the word honk, and then the rest of the song is them doing things relating to not giving a honk. And that one's, I think, one of my favorite songs because it's really creative in how they, like, rhyme and use the word honk. Like, they say, if you've got a theory, then your theory's debunked. It's, like, these weird slant rhymes that kind of work because it's meant for comedy. But both of these, I think, highlight sort of a alt-comedy knowledge of when to use something that's just completely dumb. Like think of it like Plumbus Talk, you know? That is a very modern alt-comedy sort of thing of, like, nonsense words but are also that are also funny. And it can be very easy to overuse nonsense words like that. I think, like, Big Chungus is a meme that really wore out its ability to use nonsense words too quickly. And I think whack and honk aren't really nonsense words, but it is that same mindset of, like, a word that doesn't really mean a whole lot being given this huge amount of significance in the song. And the joke of the song is also that they use the word a lot. And they do this pretty sparingly, which is what I think is nice. Their songs have a nice variety in terms of subject matter. There are definitely some that are, like, listing off a bunch of things, like a Boss. There's some that are just kind of basic storytelling. Some that are kind of playing with a concept that happens at the start, like, what is it? It's a, like, Wonderful Day? Perfect Day? Something like that?
Yeah. It, like, yeah, the, like, I'm gonna have a great day or something.
Yeah, where the joke is that it's just the singer is incredibly coked up. But, like, it doesn't really say that, like, whereas Lazy Sunday kind of shows the entire story in the song, that song doesn't actually say that they're coked up. The music video obviously shows it, but it's more so that you kind of intuit it if you're listening to it for the first time.
Yeah.
So they play around a lot with just the subject matter or what the topics are, the concepts.
I also want to shout out, I think, like, When Will the Bass Drop, which is making fun of dubstep.
Yeah.
But, like, it's very much just a structural joke of, like, it's, you know, a massive amount of buildup, and every time you think it's going to go into the bass, it doesn't until it finally does, and in the video, everybody's heads literally explode.
The video is also really funny because it kind of parodies how you can have a lot of tech on a DJ set and not really do much with it because of how live performances of electronic music work. Where, like, he messes with a bunch of other things. Like, he does a puzzle. He has, like, a model train.
Yeah, like, he does like a motion like he's, you know, scratching a record or something, but then it cuts and he's, like, frying an egg.
Yeah.
Or using deck.
Yeah, which it's a great visual gag that you kind of miss when just listening to it, but I think that's sort of like very clearly they're actors, and obviously they make a lot of music as sort of a form of expression, but it feels like a lot of the songs are completed by their videos. Threw It on the Ground is a great example. Because in, like, the last chorus, he says, like, so many things to throw on the ground. Like, this, and this, and this. He doesn't say what those are. And so if you're listening to it on the album, you don't really have a context. It's just three things. But if you're watching the video, you can actually see what they are.
Now, I do actually think you make a very good point about Plumbus Talk. Because I actually feel like some of their early hits suffered from the exact same thing, but not because of the hits themselves. It was entirely, like, this was the internet at the time. So, like, specifically, We're on a Boat and...
Like a Boss. Gosh.
Yeah, Like a Boss. And there was definitely one more that I'm trying to...
Dick in a Box?
Probably Dick in a... it's the What You Say video. Oh,
right.
Dear Sister, which is also just excellent.
Yes, we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, but, like, I think it suffered from that exact sort of burnout, because, like, the songs themselves are still really good to this day. However, the, like, this was an age almost sort of before irony. Like, it, instead of doing something ironically, you just got really mad at it. Look at, I don't know, Rebecca Black's Friday or Justin Bieber's Baby, stuff like that. And so the, like, I'm Like a Boss and I'm on a Boat just sort of became really, really big hits that you could not escape. And they sort of basically got taken in unironically.
I think,
like, just complete face value, like, yeah, this is a great song, without any of the parody sort of still seeping through.
So,
and I think it burnt out a lot of people, especially in that early era.
So I think this comes on a greater, like, topic of meme culture, which is, I feel like there are cycles of meme culture where it's cool or ironic cool or not cool to be into memes. I think of it like a pendulum swinging back and forth, you know. One side is it's cool to like memes, one side is it's not cool to like memes, and the middle part is it's ironically cool. So you get periods of ironic cool between the other two. And I think most of their stuff came at a time where it was cool to like memes, because that was like a newer thing at the time. Obviously there were memes before that in like early 2000s, you know, there are stuff like Kilroy, that's a meme. But in terms of modern internet culture memes, that was one of the earlier times. And
yeah.
I think, so, like, I think nowadays we're kind of approaching a, it's ironic to like memes again, whereas we kind of came off of a time where it was cool to like memes. I say that kind of loosely, but it feels like ironic memes are, or like memes that aren't meant to be funny, but are meant to be just a relatable picture, are more popular nowadays.
Yeah.
But, like, I think we're going to soon reach a point where it's not cool anymore to like memes.
Yeah.
And
I, here's a very good way to sort of, like, measure this, I guess. Is it currently cool to like Shrek?
Yeah.
Like, Shrek, as we discussed, like, Shrek was a good movie, and then it was an overplayed movie because of DreamWorks, and then it became ironically funny because, haha, Shrek is love, Shrek is life, and then it sort of, like, came back to, okay, now it's just a good movie still, and I can't say if we're on the cusp of it not being a good movie anymore. I think we are certainly on the cusp of, you know, just another, like, burnout of, you know, corporate milking proportions.
I don't know. Has Shrek ascended to meme nirvana?
Shrek might have, honestly. I feel like if they made 500 Shrek movies tomorrow, Shrek would still be sort of this wonderful meme.
I think a better question is, do if you were to go on the front page of Reddit and you were to look for a common meme, do people say it's, like, do people actively talk about the meme as a funny thing, or do they, like, how do I put this? So, like, a man has fallen into Lego River. That's a meme that was done during a time of meme positivity. If you were to do that today, would it be, oh, I love this meme? Would it be an ironic, like, OMG, that meme is so cool, LOLOL? Or would it be, God, this meme sucks?
Yeah. Honestly, that, like, yeah, I think you might be correct that we're sort of falling back into it, because the most current meme I can think of right now at 2:55 p.m. on July 7th, 2021 is the family meme, the, like, Vin Diesel family meme.
Oh, that's a contentious one.
Yeah, it's very contentious.
I was going to say we're going to be talking about the penis, which is a good meme.
Which is a very good meme.
Anyways, dialing back a while, so I want to talk about the Dear Sister video, because this is one of the few digital shorts that is purely a sketch and not just a song, or not a music video. The idea is it's another parody of a, like, teen drama, kind of like The Boo, sort of a callback to their earlier work. And it also stars Bill Hader, which importantly joined SNL at the same time as Andy Samberg. They were like, they're co-alumni's, like, they were the two people brought in at the time, simultaneously.
Yeah.
So it's like, Andy Samberg's sitting down writing something. Bill Hader walks in. He sees the letter and he's like, what does this say? Dear sister. And then Andy Samberg shoots him and it plays the song Hide and Seek by Imogen Heap, which is the song that goes, what you say? You know, the what you say song.
Yeah. The one that goes, what you say?
Yeah. And then, you know, Bill Hader dies. And then, like, a second later, he shoots Andy Samberg, and it plays that song again. And by, like, the second time you hear the song, you kind of get the joke. Like,
and then Shia LaBeouf walks in.
Yeah, Shia LaBeouf walks in, because that was his episode of SNL. And he gets shot by both Andy Samberg and Bill Hader. And it plays the song again. And then their sister walks in. And the character's sister walks in and gets shot by everyone multiple times, and every time it restarts the song, it goes like and then finally it's like two cops. I know one of them was Fred Armisen. I don't remember the other one. They walk in and they read the note, and it's like it's a complete playback of the entire scene. Like, dear sister, by the time you read this, I will most likely be dead in this exact manner. David will come in and I'll shoot him, then he will shoot me. Then Tommy comes in and we both shoot him. Then when you come in, you, you know, like that type of thing. Yeah. And then it ends with the cops shooting each other as per the letter's prophecy. And it plays the song twice over itself.
Yeah, it like, they shoot four times and each time they layer it onto itself.
Yeah.
Again.
I think I actually like the sketch a lot in, like, now that it's kind of passed. It's out of the, like, the main pop culture zeitgeist. And I think it's funny, and I like the sort of genre acting into a joke. But yeah, the song became played out, the meme, the song became a meme that got played out. It was hard to enjoy the sketch for a while because of that. And it eventually became sampled in Jason Derulo's song, What You Say, during the period of time in which internet memes became hip-hop samples. See also Stronger by Kanye West, and what is this? There's a song by, like, Flo Rida that samples Right Round, like a record. But yeah.
Yeah, you spin my head right round, right round.
Yeah.
I'm Flo Rida, baby. Yeah. That's exactly how the song goes, actually.
That was a fun moment in hip-hop. But yeah, they, again, it's like, you know, people say, like, SNL was never funny, or stuff like that. But it's hard to ignore the significance that The Lonely Island had on SNL and further on the internet as a whole. Like, it almost felt like the reason to watch SNL sometimes was to see the new digital short. It's like, yeah, an event. Dick in a Box, we haven't even talked about, but it was pretty much written just to be a song that Justin Timberlake would perform with them, because that was a Justin Timberlake episode. You know, it became really big. It has a very simple premise of hiding your dick in a gift package and then opening it up. Something that's really stupid, and they play out completely seriously. And they have the package, quote unquote, if you will. But then the Justin Timberlake actually joined them again for another song called Mother. Was it just called Motherfuckers or Mother Lovers?
Yeah, yeah. Was, or I think it was like Love Comes in Threes or something, and it was like yeah, Love Comes in Threes, parentheses, Do and Your Mom.
Yeah,
where the joke is that they're going to have a threesome with your mom and Justin Timberlake.
No, there's one where it's like, I'm a motherfucker, you're a motherfucker, we should fuck each other's mothers, fuck each other's moms.
Oh God. Okay, I don't remember that one.
Yeah. Well, basically, yeah, Justin Timberlake collaborated with them multiple times. I always forget Justin Timberlake was in NSYNC. What a fucking career.
What a sexy, sexy career.
Memetic career as well. You know, with the, it's gonna be my... But no, yeah, so... I think Lonely Island is a great example of a group that was prolific because of the early internet and used that internet to their potential. Like, they got picked up by an agent because of their online work, and then they got their, like, role as a figurehead of SNL because they released more specials to the internet that got viral again. And Lorne Michaels kind of gave them creative freedom because he recognized that they just had a tendency to make viral hits.
Yeah. I don't know if you have anything else.
Not really. There is just one more thing I want to mention, which is, I think my favorite song by them, Spell It Out, which is... I feel like spelling things in rap songs is more of an older thing, but it's still something that for some reason people make fun of. But I think this is my favorite example of it, because the entire song is him spelling something, and it's like a puzzle trying to figure out what he means. Like, you have to take notes during the song. I'm not going to spoil it, though. Look it up. You could just look up the lyrics nowadays on Genius and find it. But it's really funny.
I want to highlight someone.
Okay.
So Lonely Island has gone on to bigger and better things. And they still do comedy, but like, they don't do their old style sketch comedy. They don't do the viral songs exactly anymore. So who I want to highlight is a channel called Value Select. And this is... I'm not going to directly compare him to the Lonely Island, but, like, I mean, just some of the songs off the top of my head, there's one that's, like, you already know who it is, and, like, the joke is, like, you already know about my hood rat ways, you know why I didn't pass the seventh grade, and it's, like, you know why all of this stuff that you quote-unquote know about him, and then it goes off the rails a little bit. There's one song that's, like, everybody's gonna have sex tonight, which is like, this rapper gets a call and it's like, hey, this crowd's pretty traditional though, so you gotta tone it down. And so he sings about like, everyone's gonna have sex tonight, but only if you're having it with your wife and only if she wants to have sex. And so, it's a sex jam, but for like married people. He's had so many good ones about, like, he's had so many good ones in the quarantine as well.
Yeah, there's still a lot of, like, comedy rappers out there. I think Lonely Island wasn't the only one to do this. Like, Lil B was another earlier example of somebody who would, like, play around with humor in songs. And I think nowadays, especially with, like, the SoundCloud boom, there's even more people. I mentioned Lil Dicky, who is sort of sort of takes notes from Lonely Island. His music's all right, but it has a similar style. One of my favorites of all time is GMC Fauxshow, who has great songs like I'm the Best and Rifle Burst.
God, yes.
He is a bit closer to Lil B than any of these other people we mentioned, but he just has great, like, a great use of irony in terms of, like, production value. Zach Fox has some pretty good stuff. The Zach Fox Kenny Beats freestyle, if you can find the right one, I don't have the exact YouTube video, but that's incredible. And then lastly, I want to mention a rock artist whose lyrics are very similar to Lonely Island's, which is Michael M. Have fun finding that, because there's a billion Michael M's, but you might be able to find his song Shutterstock and Roll, which is a song about weird samples on Shutterstock that nobody would need to use. Or one of my favorites, which is... I forced my dad to dig his own grave, but he found treasure, which is a song where he forces his dad to dig his own grave, but his dad found treasure. And so he's trying to figure out how much of it he's owed. His concepts and lyrics are very similar to Lonely Island, despite being a different genre.
And while we're shouting people out, someone who is not at all like Lonely Island, but also deserves your love is Hot Dad.
Oh, yeah.
I think we mentioned him in the Hypnospace episode, but Hot Dad is just a very good comedy.
And we mentioned him as a YouTuber. And we mentioned him in the Shrek Retold episode.
Yeah! Go follow him. He's great.
And Bill Wirtz. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's all the comedy people, I believe.
Yes, that's all the comedy people. That's all the time we have. We went on a few more tangents this time than normal, but...
I spent 20 minutes talking about fucking Sigma males.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be it for today. The rest of the episode of the month, like I said, we're talking about their movies. The first one being Hot Rod, which we briefly mentioned. So keep your eyes, ears, and apps peeled for that.
Keep your eyes, ears, and nose peeled for our
in your new... knees and toes.
And your crack. Thank you very much for listening.
Yes, thank you for listening. You can find us at NetSurfer Pro on Facebook and Twitter, where we post little teasers about upcoming episodes, as well as any notices or information or announcements about our episodes, like the fact that this one was going to be a little late. I apologize. You can also find us on any podcasting platform you use. Give us a like, give us a rating, give us a comment. Let us know what you think. Let us know if you have any recommendations for future content, any episodes you'd like to hear or see. You can also follow me on Twitter at Matt Craig Gaming, where I tweet what I'm doing. I tweet things I'm thinking about, maybe like some things that are funny. You know how it goes. It's Twitter. You can also follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/twack. That is twitch.tv/twak. I stream on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday from 1 p.m. Central Time to 3 p.m. Central Time. I stream mainly Binding of Isaac nowadays because it's a fun game. So yeah, check me out on there.
Yep. You can find me on Twitter and TikTok at Galen Wilson. That's at GalenWilson0N. I post my hot takes and sometimes put up videos of my cat. So that's always fun. You can find me on YouTube at The Only Galen on YouTube. One of these days there will be a video. And you can find me at Twitch at Machine Gun Vampire. I might stream something sometime. I don't know. Been getting back into Borderlands 3, so I might start streaming that because that's got streamer capabilities.
Ooh, stream abilities.
With all of that, my YouTube algorithm has now been completely fucked up because now I keep getting recommendations for 16 signs you're a Sigma male. So I hope you all appreciated the work I did.
Yes, it is very much appreciated. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go look up the letters of the Greek alphabet. See ya.